Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your chance to win the 8 o'clock hour prize pair of tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400 coming up on Sunday. There you go. That's our 8 o'clock hour prize, so make sure you can go Sunday, right? Hollywood Casino 400.
Also, Ryan, have to make sure you can be here by 5 o'clock today to pick those tickets up.
That, too. So you got to get here by 5. Got to be able to go on Sunday, all right? Them's the parameters. Otherwise, Ryan makes it really easy to win him.
Yeah, outside of all of that, all those stipulations, it is super simple. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
Come on, Patty!
I know. That's not even funny anymore. Next time you hear that, be caller number
15.
Caller number 15. We never pick that number.
No.
Caller number 15. The next time you hear that, drop 913-576-7610. I'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400 this weekend. Make sure you can be here by 5 o'clock today to pick up those tickets, or don't even bother calling us.
I don't mind any idea because people are just trying to help, which I find tremendous, right? We're all looking for
everybody's
we're trying to help. Okay. Here's a couple more.
Okay.
In addition to Michael Vick, who's 39.
Right.
Okay. So I said, well, tell me the difference between Vick and Matt Moore. Well, Matt Moore is 35, and he's actually played more recently. One. Someone says, why not Mike Kafka? He's only 32, and he knows his offense. The quarterback's coach. I'm sure he throws footballs every day, Bob. So,
yeah,
I mean,
right, yeah.
Maybe not the worst idea in the world. Get Andrew Luck to come out of retirement.
I kind of like that one. That one of all the suggestions so far, that's a good one.
Could you coax him out of retirement?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a terrible phone call.
No, I kind of like that. I do. I kind of like that.
Hey, Blake Bell used to play quarterback.
That's true. The Belldozer could be the quarterback of this team.
That's why I was wondering why he wasn't the emergency quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought the Belldozer
might
be.
Didn't we have another tight end that was like a...
Travis Kelce was a high
it?
School quarterback, so, you know.
Well, we've already seen him throw.
Everybody's played a little
done.
Bit of quarterback. They all think they can do it.
I was Lovett. John Lovett.
Yes.
He was a former quarterback.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
That might be the ticket.
Then, obviously, Chris Jones is out, but he's probably rushing to get back now, thinking he's finally going to get a chance.
Yeah, Jones is like, I'm ready.
So, again, keep your options coming, 69306. We laughed through the pain a little bit today. But there's no dumb options. We're all looking for answers. We're all just trying to help here.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, time now to check in with Joe Mays, former Chiefs linebacker. Joe's appearance is brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC. Before we get to the defensive side, Joe, which I definitely want to get your opinion on after last night's performance, did your heart sink like everyone else when you saw Patrick Mahomes laying on the field?
Definitely. You know, especially on that type of play, you know, it's a quarterback sneak. It's a play that's really, really quick. You don't expect anything to happen, but with him laying there and him taking his helmet off, you knew something was serious. So I was holding my breath a little bit, just making sure that the young man is okay.
Yeah, I hated the play call because he's already banged up, and then you're shoving him into a pile with 21 other men falling on top of him. And you know, because you've been there, what goes on underneath that pile, man? People are taking shots, aren't they?
No, you know what? Not really, man. Not on quarterbacks. I mean, you know, on linebackers, yes. On quarterbacks, no. They you know, you try not to do anything that, you know, it's going to hurt any quarterback in the league, because once you do, it's no turning back. That's where the fines come in. That's where the suspensions come in. So I just think that he had way too many big bodies on top of him. And, you know, that was pretty much the case, you know, with what happened last night.
So what goes on now if you're in that locker room, you're on that team, the star quarterback goes down? What's the conversation like today? What's the conversation like going forward amongst teammates?
Yeah, I'm thinking everyone is talking about stepping that game up. You know, that's on both the offense and the defensive side of the ball. Because, you know, when you lose your star player, you know, you're going to need production from every single person. And, you know, the defense, they're going to have to play just like they played last night. The offense, they're going to have to be able to, you know, not only throw the ball, but rush the ball as well and just have a great balance. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how this team responds, you know, when they lose, you know, the most important piece to the squad.
Yeah, so where do you draw the line between, like, all right, next man up versus reality sets in and goes, we lost Patrick Mahomes?
Well, you know what? It's always that next man up mentality. But when you lose Patrick Mahomes, it's like, okay, well, it's a sense of urgency. Because you don't know how long this guy's going to be out. You don't know the specific details of the injury itself. So you're going to have to step your game up, each and every single person. So I think there's going to be a sense of urgency for these guys to go out there and play well each and every game and not necessarily rely on the offense to carry the load. The defense is going to have to step up, like I said before, and the special teams, you know, once they get the opportunities, they're going to have to do a great job, too.
Joe Mays with us here on 610 Sports Radio, former Chiefs linebacker. And, Joe, I think defensively, man, I love what we saw last night defensively. And some people are saying, well, it's only against the Broncos. But I'm like, I don't care who it's against. The defense needed that slump buster last night that they got. How important is it for a defense or any player to have that slump buster like they did last night to see some real good, tangible results?
It's extremely important. I mean, you've seen guys coming out of the woodworks with sacks last night. You know, with 9 total sacks, they had a sack on each level of the defense. I mean, that was something that was pretty awesome to watch. And it's special because, you know, not everyone gets a chance to have games like that. And the Chiefs defense had that opportunity, and they took advantage of it. Although it was against the Broncos, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone's paying too much attention to that. I mean, but they're going to be expecting for these guys to come out there and do it again.
Yeah, 4 straight games that you have over 180 yards rushing. Last night looked like there was a concerted effort to stop the running game early.
Yes, it's extremely important when you stop the run, because if you stop the run, you're leaving teams one-dimensional. You know, they're going to have to come out and pass the ball, and that's when you have the opportunity to, you know, put that pressure on those guys. So, yeah, I think it's extremely important to come out there, you know, establish dominance, establish your run set defense, and then, you know, let the cars play from there.
You know, this defense, the way they played last night, you look at it and go, okay, that's a Super Bowl caliber defense, the way that they played last night. Now with Mahomes down, do you have confidence this defense can step it up against Green Bay next week, Minnesota the following week? Can they be that defense that picks up the slack?
I think they can. So the thing is, you know, they struggled so far this season, but they had a great amount of success last night. So they know what that feels like. I really believe that, you know, with them doing what they did last night and having that confidence and that belief in themselves and the coaches having confidence in those guys too, they're gonna just unleash the wolves a little bit and let them roam and do whatever they need to do in order to win the game. So I think they have the opportunity and the ability to do it. It's all about them going out there and execute.
Yeah, that's what it is now, too. I think what we saw last night was like a little scratch of the surface of how good they can be, and they need to say, okay, 10 days from now against the Green Bay Packers, we need to do the same thing out there and perform like that against the Packers, because quite honestly now with Mahomes down, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever the case may be, this defense is going to have to play bigger because you don't have that, you know, that weapon that nobody else has to offer. Now you're playing more on an even playing field with other teams.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, and the Green Bay Packers, you know, the Broncos are not the Packers, okay? The Broncos has Flacco. The Packers has Rodgers. I mean, you know, two totally different quarterbacks, two totally different offenses. So when it comes to playing the Packers, they're going to have to step that game up most definitely. And try to, you know, apply so much pressure on Rodgers because he can pick you apart if you give him time.
Have you ever been on a field where you saw a quarterback just completely disinterested like Joe Flacco was last night?
Bad body language.
You know what, man? I don't think I have. That was pretty sad to see, you know, especially a guy that won a Super Bowl. You don't expect to see guys going out there and just not look interested at all. And you don't expect the coach to leave guys out there that don't look interested at all. So I think there's going to be some talk in that locker room and some talk within that organization to try to figure out what they're going to do at that quarterback position, because Flacco, just he's shown that he's not it.
Joe, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
That's Joe Mays. Joe's appearance is brought to you by the Leia Center, 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC. Yeah, I'll be looking for – when's Locke ready? Pretty soon.
Well, he comes off, I think, week 10 is what somebody said.
Yeah, that's probably not soon enough yet.
No, it's not, no.
Boy, he looked like he quit. That was an amazing display of
lack of want to.
Yeah, he just quit. I've never seen a guy just check out like that. Gross. Like Matt Cassel never even checked out like that before.
Who is the dude that sulked all the time? Played with the Bears and Dolphins.
Cutler?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay
that
Cutler.
That was Cutler-esque.
Yeah, it really was.
That's what it reminded me of last night.
Yep.
Andrew and KC, your winner. This hour's prize, tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400, just for listening. He wanted to sit him. He may have been right. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, $50 gift card, assorted sauces and spices to Smokehouse Barbecue. Monday at 8:15, you have to remember the weekend prediction. Who made it and did they get it right or wrong? Fridays at 8:15, we make the prediction. Mondays at 8:15, your recall gets you barbecue. Now, Bob wanted to make the pick, but I don't think his risk it, Ryan,
is a verifiable thing.
Correct. Because Bob wants... This is the pick you wanted to make.
I wanted to say that Mahomes would only be out 3 weeks.
But I that's not going to be definitive by Monday.
Yeah, you're probably right about
and
that.
And it's going to be literally day to day for a while.
Don't you ever
It's going to be literally a lot of stuff for a long time, right?
Punch you in the mouth.
So that's not definitive enough, so we can't go there. I'm glad if you're I'm pleased if you're optimistic.
Then I've got another one. Can I do another one?
Sure.
The Chiefs will beat the Broncos 30-6 this weekend.
Pick another one.
That's already happened.
Damn.
It's already happened. I guess I will make the weekend pick.
Is it going to be the Belmont?
I think I nailed it, though, still, didn't I? 4 weeks out? No?
Oh, my God.
You
did
get the pick
good.
Right 4 weeks later when it happened.
No, I didn't. Didn't miss it that time, too. I will make the pick. The Raiders will lose, and the Chiefs comfortably in first place.
So the Raiders will drop to 3-3. The Chiefs will be 5-2 with a 2-game lead. Yeah, I like that game and a half.
They're winning this division.
Yeah, the Chiefs are still winning the division.
So the Raiders will
barring
lose.
Barring something unfortunate happening.
Chiefs comfortably in first. You
like
tell me.
Like an injury to Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, barring that.
You tell me Monday, 8:15, if I was right or wrong, you can win a Smokehouse Barbecue on Monday.
I feel like I should be down in a sense, but I'm not really down. Like, I don't feel like the world is ending. Like, there are a lot of folks out there who believe that this is done. We should just tank the rest of the season. I think there are some that are holding out hope and waiting for the MRI. I'm kind of in that category. But I still think with Andy Reid, no matter who your quarterback is and who's on your team, you win 10 games every year because that's what Andy Reid does. And you're already halfway there, right? You got the Chargers still two more times. You got the Broncos
so
one
go
more
five
time.
And four.
You got the Raiders one more time.
5-4 to get you 10 wins.
Are you telling me they can't win 5 games of their final 9? I think they can. I still think this is going to be a 10-win team that gets into the playoffs, and it may not be a home field advantage type of team, but for and tanking for Tua like people want to do, or signing Warren Moon. I mean, to me, like, you got Matt Moore, you may have to have him for 3 weeks. Maybe you do have to have him for the end of the season, and maybe that does change things up a little bit for me. But right now, today, where I feel right now, before we know anything about this injury, I don't feel like the world is ending. I still feel very
at the end of the season.
Very so, positive about this.
We got to keep going.
And he was way too jovial at the post game last night.
They just won. He was up to low altitude, high altitude. Enough oxygen, maybe. I don't know. I just feel good about this team.
Got one of those edibles arrangements.
Yeah, he did. He had one of those. Very happy with some cantaloupe. Which, by the way, is the worst of the melons.
We don't have time for this.
I would nominate honeydew for that.
Oh, honeydew is so much better.
Stop.
So much firmer, better texture, better sweetness.
We have the mayor of our great city waiting on hold through this terrible conversation.
We'll ask him. What's your favorite melon, Quinn Lucas?
No. Mayor, you were the one that said you would have rather rested Pat in Denver. Had we known 30-6 that Matt Moore could have beat the Broncos last night, you'd have been very right.
Good morning, guys. We all knew that Matt Moore could have beat the Broncos because the Broncos are a garbage team.
I don't think we knew that going in, though.
I think if you looked at the Broncos' performance in advance, I think we did. And frankly, you saw that there would be defensive adjustments. Everybody knew that Patrick was hobbling on the ankle. I still think it would have been a smart move to give him some time to rest and recuperate before. You didn't know this knee injury would happen. I'm not Nostradamus or anything like that. But that being said, look, you got to play smart. And one of the smart things we have to do is recognize how vital our quarterback is for the team making any type of run in the playoffs.
So are you on the side of you hated the play call by Andy Reid like I am, or are you on the other side of it?
I am on the side of I hated the play call. I mean, I know there are a lot of people that are saying, oh, you couldn't have known that's happening, and if he's on the field, then he should just be out there anyway. No, I didn't like it. You don't have to run a QB sneak there. I think you try to protect your quarterback more. And frankly, I think we need to kind of rethink a lot of our offensive strategy around it. We've had Patrick running around. We know there have been offensive line issues earlier this season or throughout the season. And frankly, when he's back, I'd like to see us say, how can you protect him further? This is not just a run-and-gun guy. It's not his type of game. I know he's a young guy. He's energetic. But frankly, protecting him should be the name of the game for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was the right decision to make because he already had the bad ankle. Had he been healthy, I'm fine with it. Freak injuries happen and you move on. But he was already injured. And the job of a coach, a manager, a boss, a mayor, to put people in the right positions to be successful. And I think when you've got a banged up quarterback, sneaking him like that into a pile of 21 other dudes that weigh 300 pounds apiece is probably not the best call. And the worst case scenario happened, no question about it. But I think because of that ankle injury, that's why you can't call that play.
Well, that's exactly right. We've seen each week that it gets re-aggravated after some huge guy falls on the ankle, right, including our own lineman. I mean, that has been the issue. So you want to keep him from those types of files, from that very incident that happened. And that's something that you could have predicted. So, no, I mean, I think given all the circumstances surrounding it, it was not the call to make. And, no one knew that the knee issue would have happened, but we certainly did know that it was taking a risk. And I think, frankly, we need to take care with Patrick's health.
Yeah, I do too, especially with the way he's not only the face of the Chiefs, but really the face of the NFL. So many guys on the broadcast last night kept talking about how this is bad for the NFL, the future of the NFL with Patrick Mahomes. And I think, you're the king of Kansas City. You're now the king of the National Football League. It's got to be a little bit different, a little bit smarter with Andy Reid with how you utilize this kid.
I think so. And part of it is this sort of, and it's been this thing the whole season. We need to look at where the game is within its context of the season, within the context of the race that we're in. You know, I'm just listening to you guys. I agree. I think we are, nothing's definite, but we're a playoff team. I think we've got the talent to be. I think we've got the talent with Matt Moore. I hop on social media, too, so I've seen the people with the ideas ranging from Colin Kaepernick. I chuckled to the Warren Moon reference you just made. But nevertheless, look, this team with Matt Moore is good enough to compete. We're good enough to have a good playoff spot. What we need to make sure we're getting ready for is a good postseason run, strengthening the defense to the extent we can, being smarter with our schemes, but importantly protecting the quarterback and our offensive tools.
So you're good to roll with Matt Moore for a couple of weeks or however long it is, right?
I am not only good to roll with Matt Moore a couple of weeks, I in no way will rush Patrick Mahomes back. Let this be the Brock Osweiler, Peyton Manning, Denver Super Bowl year, right, where they basically, right, you have Brock fill in, who just retired, by the way, right, for some good amount of time. I think we'll be strong enough with that. And frankly, I think that's what the coach should be thinking about. We should not in any way rush Patrick back from his injury.
But what about the defense last night? You impressed, or are you thinking it's just the Broncos?
So, a little bit of it is the Broncos. I think Joe Flacco, we could see clearly, is on his last leg. Apparently, he's looked that way for a while, but I'll note that's a Super Bowl ring, so what the heck. They were stronger. I think they came out better. I think we saw much better tackling. There was a real effort to stop the run. One concern I had, particularly in the first half, there were a lot of penalties. Their one touchdown drive for Denver was sustained, I think, on two or three separate occasions by penalties on third downs and long. And so, that's something we have to continue to be smarter on. But on the whole, it was better. Also, on the offensive side of the ball, we saw a real commitment to the run. Part of that's getting your quarterback injured, but another part of that is I think that Andy and crew saw, look, we need to be dedicated to it. I'm glad to see that, and that's frankly the type of game we should be playing for the next few weeks, certainly against Green Bay.
All right, enjoy the no weekend of Chiefs football. Anyway, I don't know about you. I'm tuning out. I feel like I'm just gonna sit back. We'll all wait for the MRI. I'm not gonna watch much football.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's gonna be a beautiful weekend. Everybody goes spend lots of money in Kansas City.
There,
we need tax money.
So,
there we are.
Wisely put.
Nicely
that's
done.
Mayor Quentin Lucas. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, wait. Real quick. What is your favorite melon?
Oh, geez.
What's my favorite what?
Melon. Is it the honeydew, the
my
cantaloupe?
My favorite melon?
Yeah.
Man, that's the weirdest question of all time.
Thank you.
I don't even know. Like, I guess I'll go with watermelon because, you know, it's scrumptious.
All right. Do you like the cantaloupe? Are you a cantaloupe fan?
Cantaloupe is, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
I think my mom made me eat it the last time I did, but yeah, it's fine.
All right. See, I'm out on the cantaloupe. I don't like it. Good conversation.
Thanks, man.
All right, later. Take care. See, he's not a cantaloupe guy either. Mm-hmm. You were so wrong.
The honeydew melon
honeydew,
is not good.
Honeydew is tremendous.
Big story coming up, and we'll get an expert opinion on the Mahomes injury. That comes your way next.
You ever had a cassava melon?
Fesco in the morning.
Half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We'll talk with Dr. David Chow coming up in just a few minutes at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. He wrote a piece, again, without examining Patrick Mahomes, but if it is this injury, what it would be,
sure,
what the timetable could be, what the next steps are, and he'll kind of lay that out for us coming up in just a few minutes. But we'll chat with him coming up to get kind of the an expert opinion on what this injury could indeed entail for one Patrick Mahomes. Big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, no, that was a call play. Yeah, that was a call. Probably shouldn't have called it, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. All right. No, look, I mean, not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing, and, you know, it happens.
There's Andy Reid after the game last night. It is a freak thing. It is a freak thing for someone to get hurt on a sneak. And a lot of people are questioning this morning. Guys, you know, it's the right knee, and it was his left ankle, right? So the ankle wasn't affected. I think what I've been trying to say, is that you put him in jeopardy at minimum to get the left ankle retweet.
That's right.
Right? You didn't need to put him in that situation just to take out the situation of getting that ankle tweaked by putting him in a pile, having somebody land on him, which has happened. Somebody's landed on him. It's been a problem, right? You intentionally put him in that position to at minimum put his ankle in jeopardy.
Right.
And then the maximum happened, which was something completely different, got injured in a freakish way. So, yes, it is a freakish type injury that doesn't often happen. But you put him in the situation that you didn't need to just based on the ankle. You're running the football effectively, turn around and hand it off. And, yes, there is a little bit of armchair quarterbacking. I get it, but that's what it is, right?
Sure.
Hindsight is 20/20. In this instance, I wouldn't have jeopardized his ankle to put him in that fourth down, let alone have something else bad happen to him when it's happening. To me, that's why that's a bad call.
And it's a bad call to me, and I call it the most irresponsible play call that Andy Reid has had since he's been here in Kansas City, and really the most irresponsible decision Andy Reid has made since he's been here in Kansas City. With the MVP, Josh, as you said, already hurt and already banged up, the whole goal for a lot of us as fans this week was just to get through this game with Patrick Mahomes so he would have 10 days to rest. We've talked about it for an entire week.
Run the football.
Run the ball.
To keep his ankle healthy. Throw screens to get the ball out quick.
Do everything you can to protect Patrick Mahomes in this game. And it's much bigger than just Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Chiefs. This is a major injury now for the NFL, and I think Andy Reid had a major brain fart on this play. You've already got a banged-up guy. You don't put him into a situation where 21 other men could roll on that ankle. And we also talked about this week the difference of Patrick Mahomes' numbers before the ankle injury and after the ankle injury in those last two games, especially after he got re-rolled up upon, against the Colts and against the Texans, and how much different a quarterback he was. Putting him into the pile does absolutely 100% raise the risk of somebody falling on that ankle unintentionally. Unintentionally, it could happen. Somebody just falls on that ankle because you're throwing them in there with 40 other legs that are whipping around and kicking around. And so
the last time I was tweaked, it was unintentional. Guy was just taking him down.
Yeah.
And pinched both feet underneath him.
Correct.
That could happen again if you put him in that situation. They put him in that situation. That's what I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was freakish that he hurt the opposite knee and the ankle was fine. Still wouldn't put him in that situation. We discussed running the football specifically to keep him out of harm's way.
To keep him out of harm's way. And Andy put him in harm's way. And you may say, yes, it's a freak injury, and he didn't injure the ankle. It was a knee injury. It was something totally different. And you're 100% right about
yes.
that. But it would be like sending a blind man to walk down the interstate. You don't do something like that. You don't put somebody in a position that have an injury potentially happen to themselves and put them in a position where they can't succeed. Putting a blind man walking down the street through traffic is putting him in a position of not being successful. And that's what Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes and his bad ankle. You put him in a position to not be successful last night. You were running the ball well for the first time in a while, had an opportunity to move the sticks by running the football, looked really good running it. You also have a fullback on your roster, 42, Anthony Sherman. He's kind of gone way of the dodo bird in the NFL. Fullbacks don't exist anymore. You had a fullback on your roster at that point in time. Use him in that situation. And you know Andy believed it was a bad call because with 2:22 to go in the third quarter with a third and one in the same type of situation, you ran the fullback in that play and not the quarterback. That's what you should have done that time. At least he learned from his mistake, right? Didn't do it again.
Especially had no third quarterback.
Especially no third quarter. Yeah. Well, Sherman could have been the third quarterback at that point.
He's the emergency quarterback, apparently.
But I just think I know it's not the same injury, and injuries happen, and it's a freak injury, but he's already banged up. And if the talk wasn't the whole week about preserving him, keeping him safe, keeping him from getting injured, then I wouldn't be having this conversation. But we talked for an entire week about keeping Patrick Mahomes injury-free and doing things offensively to take the pressure off him, and then you roll him into the line with a bunch of dudes flying around.
Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. We're going to chat now with Dr. David Chow, at Pro Football Doc on Twitter, and wrote a really kind of long, lengthy piece, San Diego Union Tribune, about this injury. Thanks for joining us first and foremost. Obviously, we're playing from a perspective of you're not looking at the MRI. You're kind of looking and diagnosing from afar, so we get that portion of it. But initially, what did you see, and what can we expect here now in the coming days?
Well, I saw what everyone else saw, right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes got hurt on the quarterback sneak. He couldn't really even move his knee. He couldn't even get off the offensive lineman. He really couldn't move at all. He was in that much pain, and that just shows you how tough he is. And the Chiefs medical staff did a great job of putting the kneecap back into place. He had a patella dislocation, and they did that on the field, which is the right thing to do, the humane thing to do. The medical legal thing to do is wait, let me get an x-ray, protect myself, this, that, the other. But meanwhile, the player is in a lot of pain, and the injury continues to swell. So kudos to the Chiefs for doing the right thing, as always.
And you know, obviously you haven't examined Patrick Mahomes or anything like that yet, but just speaking in, I guess you could say, generalities, an injury like this, when you have your kneecap kind of blown out like we're talking about here, what is recovery like? What is a timetable like for Patrick Mahomes?
Well, not every patella dislocation is the same. There are many other factors. The questions that need to be answered, including, was there a chip of articular cartilage or something else knocked off when the kneecap dislocated? And, of course, x-rays were reported as negative, but sometimes not everything is seen on x-rays, and an articular piece doesn't show up on x-rays. So the MRI will help there. How badly does the medial patellofemoral ligament or medial retinaculum, not trying to be too fancy here, but the tissue on the inside of the knee, the medial side of the knee that holds the kneecap from going out in the other direction, how stretched or damaged is it? There's no question it's going to have some damage. The question is, how stretched and damaged is it? What's the shape of his kneecap? What's the angle of his knee? How deep is the groove? Basically, what's the likelihood that it's going to come out again and cause further damage. All of this stuff needs to be assessed with physical exam and MRI. And then I think Mahomes and the Chiefs have a big decision to make.
Yeah, they obviously do, whether or not you have surgery now or wait till after the season. As a medical expert, what do you think they should do?
Well, I don't have all the facts and all the pieces of information, but there are many things that go into this. And first of all is he going to be able to return, and is he going to be able to do it safely? I quoted in the article that Matthew Stafford missed 3 weeks in 2009, finished the season, and then had surgery in the offseason. And without bringing it up, no one would really know that he had an issue with the knee. But, of course, Stafford and Mahomes are very different quarterbacks, very different players. And the more mobile you are, the more active you are, the more dynamic you are, the more quick cuts and turns that you make, a la number 15, the more risk there is to the kneecap coming out. And the biggest fear that you would have is not just that it would come out and be painful, but what happens if the next time it comes out, it does shear off some articular cartilage, setting off the cascade of arthritis and potentially affecting long-term future. I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom guy. I'm just saying these are going to be some of the consideration the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are going to be making today. I guarantee you they're already talking about it. And after this supposed noon MRI, it's going to be revisited and discussed with more information.
Talking with Dr. David Chow, Pro Football Doc on Twitter. And I think when you say all that stuff for me and for Josh, we've talked about it this morning based on your article, Doctor, is that we look at it and we would absolutely take the conservative approach. And even if you have to say, well, there's like 1% chance he could need surgery, I'm all about doing it and getting it done make sure he's healthy moving forward and saying, you know what, the heck with the final 9 games of this year. I want 10, 12, 14 more years of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that certainly is a consideration. You know, I don't really know Patrick Mahomes, but from what I've seen from him and how he's really been tough and played through the high ankle sprain in week one, I was screaming from the mountaintops on that. And now, obviously, on week 5 and 6, everyone's talking about it after he got re-aggravated. But he's a tough dude, and he plays through. And I didn't think at the beginning of the season he could impress me anymore after his performance last year. But he really did impress me more in terms of how he handled this left high ankle sprain. So I think his makeup is, come on, let me play through. But,
right.
You know, maybe Dad will weigh in. Maybe the team will weigh in. Look, I hope the MRI comes back where there's no chip. There's surprisingly no or little tear stretching to the medial retinaculum, and that everyone feels it's really safe and he's got a low chance of redislocation. And perhaps maybe he doesn't even need surgery. I really hope that that's the case. But, you know, in medicine, we have a silly little saying from medical school days, when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. And yes, on occasion it's a zebra. Maybe it is. And Patrick Mahomes is a zebra. Maybe his knee injury will be a zebra. But the horses, the typical is kind of what I've been talking about.
Right. So let's talk best case scenario. Are we still looking at like 3 to 4 weeks probably if everything's clean in that MRI?
Yeah, that's probably the best case scenario. But boy, if everything's clean on the MRI, I kind of don't want to doubt Patrick Mahomes, right? I
mean, right.
He kind of plays through a lot of things. But the typical is about a month, you know, give or take, depending on the swelling and the certain circumstances. But I don't want to doubt him. I mean, he's proven a lot of people wrong already, and he's been a warrior. And quite honestly, he performs at such a high level. 85% Patrick Mahomes is probably still more mobile and better than 95% of the league. So I wouldn't ever count him out to that respect. But you're right. You got to look at the big picture. He's a young quarterback on a rookie contract, and you know they're expecting a lot more out of him. Everyone is. And so I actually put up a poll on Twitter. What should he do? So the early results, just in 20 minutes here, 2/3 of the people are saying have surgery. My follow-up thought is, was that number higher in Kansas City or lower in Kansas City?
Yeah, I don't know. I
mean, do fans just want him to play or fans want him to have the surgery? Now, that stat is probably jaded by I said read the article and then vote. So
yeah.
I probably jaded the audience a little bit.
Now, you were a former NFL team doc, of course. You mentioned kind of Patrick's motivation and start. Have you ever had somebody kind of talk you a different direction? Like, it's not you. Yes. You could play. You could play, but you know there might be a smarter play to take the long term approach. I mean, who wins that?
well, ultimately, the player makes the ultimate decision on what he wants to do, whether it's surgery or not. No one can force someone to have surgery. I had this exact, well, not exact, but kind of similar circumstance, and I can talk about it because I have permission to talk about it, and quite honestly, it's fairly well known. Phillip Rivers tore his ACL and tore his meniscus after the divisional game, the final game in the RCA Dome where the Chargers beat the Colts, and he tore his ACL and tore his meniscus. He was very firm on saying, I'm playing in that 2018 AFC Championship game against the Patriots there. He was very determined to do it. And I told him many times, and I've talked about this on my podcast, and Phillip came on my podcast and we talked about it again. So it's public information, so I'm not betraying any
gotcha.
HIPAA or confidence.
Yeah.
But we talked about it, and it was his insistence. I told him 17 times, this is not the best thing for your knee. The best thing for your knee is to get it fixed, and we come back another day. And his response was, no, I want to play in this game. Do what you can. And I said, think about it overnight, and we talked about it again. And our head coach, Norv Turner, said, Phillip, take care of your knee. Billy Volek has got this. But Phillip said, no, I want to do this. And we gave him the risks, and we tried to mitigate that with special circumstances and bracing and other things. And he indeed did play in that AFC Championship game in 2008 after the 2007 season. But that was a one-off one game, and Phillip is not exactly Patrick Mahomes in terms of mobility. That was an ACL tear and meniscus. This was a kneecap. So there are lots of differences. I'm not pretending to know the exact situation with Patrick Mahomes, but at least give you an idea of the types of discussions and things that can and might happen.
What are the risks of coming back too early and re-injury of this thing?
Well, you know, obviously you come back too early, you may not function very well, but the big risk, whether it's early or even a little later on, is redislocation of the kneecap. And of course, you know, that would cause pain and that would set him back and that would be out some. But my big fear, and maybe it won't happen if I say this, is that if or when the kneecap were to redislocate, do you damage the articular cartilage surface by shearing off some of the cartilage? If that happens, sure, you can clean up the pieces. That's not that big of a surgery. But that's the onset of arthritis in terms of what's going on. And that's something that will be considered in their discussions this morning. Look, I'm sure they had them last night already and this morning and after the MRI, et cetera.
Dr. David Chow, thanks for the time today. Great insight on this injury. And you can follow him at Pro Football Doc. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, and I'll put up some updates at profootballdoc.com. It's a free website. You just put in your email and your password, and whenever MRI news comes out, I'll try and update some information and then hopefully inform some of your listeners.
That's cool. Thanks for the help. That's a really good insight. Yeah, I mean, the biggest fear is, one, that the kneecap comes back out, but also then takes something off with it,
Yeah. Basically
what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, if your best case scenario is it dislocated, but nothing else, you're like, whew, is there a chance it dislocates and then tears something else,
right,
and makes it a worse injury the next time, then does require surgery. So, I mean, those are all the things that factor into it, to a decision like this. And then I did need to hear him say, like, the ultimate decision is with the player.
Right.
Because you always kind of wonder in those situations. He can push whatever, but the player / patient makes the ultimate call on this, even for a for an NFL team,
yeah,
technically, that has a bunch of dollars tied up in you.
No, it looks like he won't have surgery then if it's Patrick Mahomes' call.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what fans have to say, Josh, because I thought his poll was very interesting that he put up. Two-thirds of his voters are saying have surgery versus one-third saying not have surgery. So, like, Chiefs fans, what do you want Patrick Mahomes to do in this situation? Do you want him to have the surgery and say the hell with the rest of this year, but try to preserve it and be good going forward? Or do you want to say play through it because you got an opportunity maybe to go to a Super Bowl that isn't guaranteed? So 913-576-7610, as a Chiefs fan, what do you want Patrick Mahomes to do? Have the surgery, call it a season, and get ready for the next 10 years, or try to play through this thing?
Now, I mean, you see those scenarios all the time too, where they go, well, he's injured. He's going to need some at some point, but he's not going to injure himself anymore playing. Doesn't feel like that it's going to be one of those, but it could
right.
be.
Right, could be.
But it absolutely could be. And then those situations, I go, okay, well, you're going to need to clean up later. You see it in baseball a lot.
Sure,
like, right,
yeah.
right? They can play through it, but they're going to have to clean it up later. But again, if you have that first surgery, I think the complete misnomer is that they call it a cleanup.
Right.
Surgery is a surgery, and it also takes its toll. So that first time you have that surgery, I mean, you're not fixed.
Right.
You know, it's not fixed. You're just, you can lead to other things, as the doctor had mentioned. So, but I can punt this season, no problem. I really can. That's why I'm not like completely freaked out today. I feel like pretty calm and like at peace that I could go ahead and punt the season if you fix him and we'll start again next year.
I think it's more important to have Patrick Mahomes for the next 12 years than have him for the next 12
rather
games.
Rather than rush through in a season where I don't know what the end game is.
Right.
Like,
We feel good about last night's defensive performance, but it's still everybody's
freaking out through 2 weeks and going, man, that's how they exit in the play. Nothing was any close to me to be a guarantee where I just go, hey, man, I'm willing to be surprised with Matt Moore at the helm. I go ahead and play it out. I do everything possible to preserve Patrick Mahomes. And even if it's a little more skewed towards the side of, well, we don't know, but if he does this again, there would ...
right.
then I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I just wouldn't.
Right. And I'm in the boat of I want to make sure that he's around for the next 12 years. I don't want this to be a thing where every four games we're knocking the knee back into place and it becomes a lingering issue that never, ever, ever goes away. Because if we get to that spot, we're never going to see the Patrick Mahomes that we want to see for the next 12 years. It's always going to be one of those, oh, this missed this game because injury, that. You just don't want to deal with that long term. You want to get it taken care of as much as possible and as quickly as possible. So what do you guys want? 913-576-7610. Chiefs fans, where do you weigh in on this one?
We'll start with Rick in Spring Hill. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, morning, guys. I 100% agree with what you were just saying. I think it's a big life application. I think one of the hardest things to do in life is to give up short-term, like, hey, we won a Super Bowl this year, we're all set or whatever, and to give that up to say, hey, this gives us a better chance long-term, that's a really tough decision, but I think that's the right decision. We got to see what Patrick Mahomes can be at his peak for the next 10 years.
I'm with you, Rick. Reggie in Anaheim's up next. Reggie?
I don't know. I said, man, let's let him sit. We're jumping the gun a bit. I mean, we need to wait and see, you know, when all the tests get back. But ultimately, I mean, if he can sit 3 weeks and come back, I'd want that. If he absolutely has to have surgery, then the rest of this season is done. No one's going to watch Matt Moore for the next 8 weeks. So I say do whatever the doctors say is the best, but hopefully he just has to sit 3 weeks.
Well, and that is
bad. I'll watch Matt Moore too,
because I still think this team is a 10-game winner. They've already got five. And
I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they win, but they're 5-2, and they'd be in position to be in the playoffs and be willing to be
right.
surprised.
Yeah,
I'd play out the season like that. I'd be willing to be surprised, not expecting to have something happen.
I remember Kurt Warner took over, and nobody knew who he was, and he went on to lead the Rams to a Super Bowl. Now, clearly a Hall of Famer, but I think Andy Reid, man, he like as mad as I am about that call, I'm still very elated to have him as the head coach because he still takes quarterbacks to a different level, and you still have games against the Titans, against the Chargers twice, against the Raiders once, another Broncos game. Like, there's plenty of games on that schedule for you to still win 10 games, win this division, and get into the postseason. Now, you probably have to play in the wild card weekend or something like that, but everything's still in front of you that you set out for. It's harder to attain, obviously, without Patrick Mahomes, but you already got five wins under your belt.
Jay and KC's up next. Jay, good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So I feel like the surgery would be the safest option only because, good thing, the way our defense looked this year, even with Mahomes healthy, I just don't see it the way the Patriots are playing. So I think it's best just to let it heal, let him get better for next year, work on the defense in the off seasons, and just try to get back next year.
That's where I'm okay with that. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to ultimately, but I'm okay if that's the scenario. I really am. That's why, I feel like I'm very calm.
I feel calm this morning. I feel like I'm not losing my mind.
Much calmer than I thought I'd be, like, you know, last night.
Yeah, last night I was like, oh my gosh. But
Joanne's up next. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. I think if we were 6-0 right now or 7-0, we'd be freaking out a little bit more. I think we've seen the vulnerability with the team and knowing maybe we're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year. So let's get him healthy, do the surgery. Brady's got to retire at some point, you hope. So we want him to be healthy.
It's not definitive.
When Brady's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So do it. Take care of him.
Take care of Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If they're unbeaten right now, probably singing.
Yeah,
a totally
probably 7-0. Yeah, right.
Going, oh, man. Well, you gotta get him back in 3 weeks.
And as good as I thought the defense was last night, and it was, there's still a lot of folks out there like, oh, I'm still against the Broncos. Do it against the Packers. Yeah, they got to do it for the next week. That it's not a one-shop deal or anything like that. But I think that defensive performance last night can be the springboard. I compared it to earlier in the show we were talking about. You know, the Spags defense with the Giants in 2007, they used week three, a big stop at the goal line against the Redskins, as the springboard where everybody brought in. They had a big two-point conversion stop early in that game last night, and the defense took off after that. I mean, after that play, that defense played possessed, played awesome, played with killer instinct, had a lot of rookies step up. Like, that was a different defense after that play. And if you talk to Michael Strahan or any of those guys on that 07 Giants team that went on to win the Super Bowl that year with Spags as the defensive coordinator, they all point to that play that they had, a fourth down stop around the goal line against the Redskins that sprung board that defense forward. Well, here we are with Spags, a big play at the goal line, and ever since that play, that two-point conversion stop, this defense has been unstoppable. 9 sacks, no rushing yards, no scoring. Like, that can be the play. And I said it yesterday. I expect a magical Mahomes moment maybe in this game. Maybe it's the magical defensive moment that we saw. That could be the play that springboards this defense. And if they start playing better right now, hey, anything's possible.
Yeah, I'd be willing to be surprised. I'm also playing probably the mode today, worst case scenario. I'm playing the worst case scenario. The MRI comes out later. They decide on surgery. Season over. I'm also okay if they don't say that. And I'm not going to be, I'm not a doctor. I'm not seeing it. I'm not Pat. I'm not making the decision. If it comes back and it is 3 or 4 weeks, yeah. I say still be cautious. But if you guys are good with this, I'll be good with this. And let's play out the season. And our expectation level can be exactly the same. So I think I'm operating a little bit today under the worst case scenario, which is done.
Yeah.
Done, season over. What do you do now?
You move on.
Right. And I'm just kind of playing out the season. I also don't like the quarterback scenarios out there. I think I don't see a quarterback scenario that makes a lot of sense. New York trying to trade us Eli?
Yeah. NJ.com has a nice article about trying to deal Eli Manning to the Chiefs. And basically what they have said is that, you know, Eli's going to be done with this franchise anyway at the end of the season. There's obvious connections there. Pat Shurmur and his son, and Andy Reid has worked with Pat Shurmur, and his son is on the practice squad for the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a lot of connections between the two. If they made the trade, the Chiefs would have to give up a mid-round draft pick to get Eli Manning, and for Eli Manning to start and finish out his career here with Andy Reid in Kansas City could be just what the doctor ordered for him and allow him to kind of go out on a high note like, you know, you saw with his brother Peyton Manning. Not saying Eli leads the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, but wouldn't that be a bowl full of laughs? If Eli was able to come in here, if it is worst-case scenario, the Chiefs did trade a fourth-round pick to the Giants, owe him $6.5-7 million for the rest of the season, bring a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback into this team, you'd feel a lot better than Matt Moore. And if you have to give up a fourth-round pick for it, so be it. You do that. And that may be something that could be considered. I don't hate that option either.
I don't hate that. But those are the scenarios you're left to. Guys who have been benched, guys who are coming back from injury.
Right, and Warren Moon.
And I know Fitz is starting in Miami. Okay? Fitzmagic is available. Okay? You might not like saying it, but he's available. So you can't say he's a starting quarterback, he's not available. It's the Dolphins. They're tanking anyway.
Yes.
Josh Rosen's not their answer. I get it. But they're tanking anyway.
Right.
Fitz is available.
Right.
Those types of things, if he's done for the season, I'm willing to explore. I don't have to have that.
But really, the only one that I would be interested in would be Eli.
But a lot of the options are not great.
Eli's a winner. Eli's won 2 Super Bowls. You'd feel good with Eli coming in here over Fitz and Rosen or anything.
Fitz is a winner in a very short spurt.
But not a big-time game winner like Eli is. The only one I would consider, if you have to give up a fourth-round pick for Eli for the rest of the season, I'd probably consider doing that.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We're going to revisit it. See how we did. Chiefs win if none of us had the quarterback scenario.
I don't even want to do this.
Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.